This is an interview with Frederick Kuhl for the Youngstown State University Oral History Program by Jay Toth at Canfield, Ohio on October 15, 1979 at 9 p.m. Okay, we'll start out by, how old are you?
How old am I? I don't tell you.
You don't?
No. 91.
91, huh?
Yeah.
Where were you born?
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. Can you describe your parents to me? What do you know of your parents?
Where did your folks come from?
Huh?
Where did your folks come from?
Oh, well, they come from Germany.
Mm-hmm. Did your father know a trade, or what prompted him to come to this country?
What time did they come?
Why did they come?
Oh, I don't know why they come. I never asked them. So I couldn't tell you. All the rest of them, I suppose, was over here. The majority of them was, anyhow.
Why did they pick Milwaukee?
Well, I don't know that either. Because I suppose they had better chance, or he did, because he's a stonemason. He could work here better than he could up there. That is my father.
Well, that means he moved from Milwaukee to Ohio.
Yeah, I was only a year old.
What were some of the things that you did when you were growing up?
What was that now?
What were some of the things that you did when you were growing up?
Since then, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, it all depends on what you want to...
Well, tell about when you were taking care of the school and you and your mom...
Oh. You mean out in the country there? Oh, yeah. Well, I was janitor out there, you know. I was only about 6-7 years old, I guess. I got $5 a year there for taking. I had to go and steal the kindlingwood and stuff to go and start it all going to the furnace. Didn't have to steal it. They was, at that time there, whenever they, some company or somebody advertised somebody, they always had a wooden slab, you know, if I had it printed on there what it was, and I'd go along and yank him off. Well, that would make good kindlingwood. I used to start that darn furnace over there.
What did the school look like?
The school? Mm-hmm. Well, no, it was just a little country school. That's all it was to it. Just a little bit of a place, just right alongside my where I lived, because we used to have to go, and my mother, we'd take a fire shovel and she'd put some coal in there, and I'd run over there and stick it under the darn lock there so I could get it unthawed by the door to open up the door. Oh, that's an awful place there.
What was the name of the school?
I didn't even know whether they had one or not. If it was, I never knew it. Because we had people, or kids. Oh, I know two of them, the girls, that they lived about 3.5 miles. I don't know how they come in there. They come from the country. They come all that way in there. I don't know how even they got there, whether somebody had brought them in or what. I remember them well. Well, it got pretty darn cold out there in that place.
What was school like for you?
Hmm?
What was school like for you?
Oh, for me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, just about so. I didn't care too much at that time because I couldn't go to school very long anyhow.
Why is that?
Why, because I was a grown up man about that time there. In other words, I had a a bunch of 2-foot rule by George down here in overalls, about that much turned up, and that's the way I went out the shop to work. And by that, they got tired of having me come out there. And they finally thought, oh, give the kid a job. But I couldn't even look in the window at him, you know. I was just a little bit of a fella. They gave me a job out here, heating rivets, that boiler shop. I was out there for a long time, averaging. Finally, by OG.
How old were you when you went out?
When I went there? Well, let's see. 15 years old.
You left school at fifth grade?
Yeah. About in there. Mm. Went as long as I could go, and by OG, of course, I had to go and help. Feed the outfit, I guess. So I just quit and went to work. And, about 15, I guess. And I finally got a job then eating rivets. And then I didn't want to be a boiler maker because I couldn't. They just told me by. Bust my eardrums and everything else, and I had to crawl inside them boilers, and lots of, because I was just little, they called me Minute. I said, darn little, and they used to drive me in great big boilers there. Oh, they get their own boilers down there once in a while, repair them, and some company, great big, it'd be about 7 feet high, and long, you know, and then they had all stables in the middle there, crosswise and every other which way to hold them together. And I used to have to crawl in between there, around in there, and they'd throw in a rivet, hot rivet, and I'd have to reach down there and grab around down there with a pair of tongs and stick it in the hole up there, and then I'd have to run and get the hold bar there, hold it up again the rivet until they pound it from the outside, and all that dust and stuff used to roll around in there. I couldn't see. I know that lime and stuff, you know, gather in there. That was an awful job. I was there for a long time. Then finally, the boss of the boiler shop there, he says, this ain't no place for you. He says, you've got to, you're around here, you've got to holler in order to get you to understand what they're saying and everything. So they finally transferred me up in the wrecking room, I guess. And I went up there then and started as a bellboy up there. And then I saw different lengths of pipe there for them and everything else. That was a kind of a hard job for a kid, but then nevertheless, I held it out. I held it out there.
What was the name of the company?
Huber Company. Huber.
Huber.
Yeah, I held that out. And then I stayed there for quite a while, and finally then they transferred me up in the machine, up in the tool room, and I stayed up there for quite a while. Then the boss there, he was a nice old fellow. I liked him. I thought my name was Axtell. By George, he told me, he said, Fred, he said, you go down and ask the superintendent down, I'll give you more money. You're worth more money than what you're getting. And I said, all right, I'll just go down there.
How much were you making?
15 cents an hour. And so I went down, and I just happened to, the superintendent came out of the office. Fellow named Garver, and I told him, I said, Mr. Axtell, the tool maker, master mechanic, he thinks I'm worth more money. He said, how much you getting now? I said, 15 cents. He says, I can't get a bit more.
How old were you?
Then?
Was that after you finished?
Yeah, no, wait, let's see. Yeah, sure. Let's see, I was about 18, I guess, around here. Well, you should have a picture around or someplace. Yeah, I think I was about 18, but the guy, he wouldn't give me a bit more. And so I went in, asked a fellow in there how much I had coming. Because that was enough for me when that superintendent told me, whether that was all guinea, whether what you're getting now, that's plenty. So I just went in, they told me how much I had coming. I went out in the shop. I asked a fella there, I says, I think it was Harry Lanehart. I said, hey, he said, you want to buy my time? Mm-hmm. I told him what I'd done. He says, why, what you going to do? I said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I said, if I can get money enough, I said, I'm going to quit. I said, I'm going to Cleveland. Well, there were some people there, they was going to live on 37th Street in Cleveland. And they was going up there at the same time, and so I just went with them, see? Went up there. And I just went up there then and got a job. No, first I found a place to where I could get board, room and board, and I found that. And then I got a job out to Stern Automobile. And that was a nice job, and I didn't like it. I was a young kid, what the dickens. And these guys, they go past there, they was going out to Euclid Beach, some kind of a resort out there, you know, and I could hear them kids, you know, and them streetcars. Stand on run boards and everything else. They was going out there, and here I was working in there 12 hours a night, and it all gone over the automobile shop. I can remember that guy, that old boss, great big lanky son of a gun. He had a straw hat on about like that in a machine shop. I don't know what his name was anymore. So I just thought, shoot, I'm going to keep this job. I had them kids going out there having a good time and me in here working 12 hours a night. So by our drivers, I quit that there and went out to Winton Automobile. And that's where I stayed, and by the best darn job I ever had, by God, it was right to them people that built a Winton Automobile, remember? And I had, that was one fell place there, and the master mechanic, them guys really, they really liked me, they were really, the Winton himself. I can even remember the cigars he used to smoke. My golly, but that had a nice smell, that cigar. By George, boy, I'm going to buy one of them, and I find a way, I see him throw it all gone band away, and I got one after I found out how much they cost. I didn't want any. Oh, but that was expensive, but then, my God, he was a nice old fella, and I made a lot of stuff for that fella, experimental stuff. They started by making body carburetors out of different stuff, aluminum and brass and stuff like that. And I'd have to make all that stuff there for them experimental work with, see? And
what kind of cigars did he smoke?
Huh?
What type of cigars?
What, his?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. El Productos, I believe it was. My golly, but then it did smell good. And
why did you leave there?
Why did I leave now? I don't know. Well, I'll have to go and figure that out. Oh, I know why I left it. It wasn't because I didn't like that job. That was a good job. Them fella and they they were just like a nursemaid to me. By God, I couldn't do nothing wrong, by or not with them people. By those days, it showed me, and I needed a lot of help. I didn't have too much knowledge, not from where I left the Uber shop. Up there, you know. And I guess I just kept right on. Finally, by George, I just told them fellas I went with. I said, you know, I said, I'm getting clear from the neck. I said, by George, with people standing all over my seat on the streetcars and walking around here. I said, just too many doggone people. I says, I'm going to leave. He said, where you going? I said, you come with me. And I said, I'll show you. I went down to the depot and asked for a ticket. He says, where to? I said, Spokane, Washington. I don't know why, I just sounded to him, yeah, that's just about right, you know, that I wanted to go to Spokane. And by golly, them guys, they looked at me and they said, are you sure you want to go? I said, that's exactly where I'm going. I said, I'm through. I said, whenever I say I'm through. And I said, that's it. So by George, I just went down, got that ticket. And them guys still couldn't believe that I was going. And by golly, the next morning, by George, I took off, by George, and I went. I got on the train, and that was it. I had a ticket about that long. And by George, now wait a minute. I got in bad there. I didn't get in bad, but I got loused up. In other words, at that time there, the railroad, they didn't have coaches like they got now. They had them old back, rounded in the back, you know, how them old wooden stage, well, probably you never saw any of them. The old fashioned, see? And they pulled a drawbar out. We're going between Chicago and St. Paul. They pulled a drawbar out. Well, so we had just wait there, them railroaders, the conductor and the fireman, them there, they put that darn drawbar back, or put a new one in, whatever they done. Well, I sat along railroad there watching, and pretty soon here come a couple girls down. And that was right down my alley, you know, and my husband got to talking, and of course they sat down. And they was asking me where I was going. I told them, and they says, I believe, the rest of the family, I think the whole family was moving out there. But then it just, the folks, they stayed in the car. And finally, by George, I told them, I was going out there too, and they said, well, they're just crazy. They get this here, fixed up. Where there they was going. See, they was on the right train, but I had to go and stay over till the next day, see? And so I thought, well, doggone, I'm going to find out now when we get to St. Paul there, if I can get that ticket so that I could stay on there without laying over until the next day to get my, see? And this guy, he happened to, there's the ticket to the, no, he was the wrong guy. He was a depot master that I asked, because I shouldn't never ask him. I thought, that was the right thing to do. He was a depot master. He said, all right, I'll fix it up. And he said, you can go and catch it over St. Paul. I said, all right. So by George, I kept looking around, you know, all at once. So dawned on me, by George, I don't believe I got that guy even bothered about it. And so I run up there to the ticket place, where you get your ticket. I told him, I said, how about me getting this ticket changed so that I can stay right on this train? He said, you just come in on that train? I said, yeah. He said, that's gone. He said, flip left. There I was, stuck, see? They had my suitcase and tools and everything was on there, but that was gone. And then I went in, that's where I got confused up. I asked that guy about it. And he says, all I can say is that you'll have to wait till the next day to get your train, because that and there is gone. And by God, you know, it took me clear up, that was, let's see, when did I go out there? April. I think I went out there in April. And you know that I never got my stuff. That was until, I'm going ahead with my story. Anyhow, I happened to meet a girl there on the train. And she told me, he said, where are you going? I said, well, I said, I am going to Spokane, Washington. I said, that's where my ticket is, but I'll have to wait. And she says, why, I'm going to Washington. She says, you are? Said, yeah, she says, I'm going to Seattle. I said, good. And so, of course, I had company. We got chewing the fat and everything, you know. And finally, by the way, she told me, give me an address. And she says, well, when you get out there, why, you just give me a ring, see? Of course, my ticket was called for Spokane, and I told her, I said, well, I said, I got to get off of Spokane here and get a, because my ticket called for there, and I'll have to go and buy another ticket, that's all. So I did. I guess I paid $12 more and got a ticket and went off to Seattle. And then when I got there, she gave me the address, where she lived, South Alki Point. Was the name of the place. It was a nice place. And so I got there, and he gave me the introduction to the old gent. He was a nice old fellow. I liked him. Happy-go-lucky. And I think they was divorced, him and his wife. She had a nice place down along the sound. So I just stayed with him then, and I went down along the shore there and dug clams for people. I was going to find out if I couldn't locate where these people went that had my in charge of my suitcase, or that I told them to take care of it. And they went to a place they called Gate, Washington. Well, I didn't have money enough at that time anymore, but I was to go there to Gate, Washington. I didn't know how far it was. So I dug clams for people. They was good. I ate a lot of them. I ate them by the bushel, I guess. This old man, he said, I'm going to give you a treat tonight. He says, all you've got to do is to dig them. I said, dig what? He said, you dig the clams. And so he had a great big pan full there. And we just give each a little plate there, about like that, butter in it. Then you take them out, just like you would an oyster or something, you know, dip it out, you know, and put it in that, and eat them. Well, you eat them, bushel them. And by gosh, I thought that was pretty good. And then I used to dig them out for people. And I'd go, some of them would give me 50 cents, or some would give me a quarter, or whatever they give me, it was all right. I didn't charge nobody nothing. I just thought, well, shoot, if it's worth it, they'll give me some. They don't, well, it's all right. But anyhow, I was having a lot of fun down along the beach. And I finally got enough money, and I went down there at this place. It was all great big trees, a lumber camp. Yeah, they didn't know what they ever done with my stuff. And so I couldn't have my good clothes on. And I told the old man up there, I said, you've got something I can wear around here until I find my, locate my stuff. And he said, sure. And so he gave me a pair of corduroy pants. He could put two of them in there, and a little piece of rope about as big around as that there for a belt around here. And that's the way I went up and down this here doggone over the beach, digging clams and stuff. Oh, shoot, that was a lot of fun. I didn't care about it. But of course, that fellas laughed, you know, and everything, but what the heck, I didn't care.
Did you finally get your tools?
Yeah, they took me. Oh, I know, we had a ball game out there that day. There's some, that bunch of young fellas out there, they got up a ball team, and they said, hey, you know something? the guy up the depot up there, he said he's got some for you up there. I said, what? And he says, they got your stuff up there. I said, they have, and he said, that's what they got. So I went up there and I said, is that your stuff there? And I said, that looks like it. And he says, well, he said, they had that already in the place up there where they keep that something, I suppose, in Chicago or someplace. Lost and found stuff and everything. And of course, that's where they found it, because it had my name and everything on it. They couldn't have lost it, because I had my name painted on the suitcase and I had a tag on the grip. I went out there and Georgia didn't find it. Then I got another job then, working for a fellow by the name of Reeves, and I just felt I ever worked for it. Machine shop.
Didn't you once ride a stagecoach?
Huh?
Didn't you once ride a stagecoach?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, that stagecoach. Well, that there, I went to a place, Weezer, Idaho. I think it was. And I asked a guy there, I said, say, I just wonder if a fella could find a job around any place. He said, you looking for a job? He says, any particular job? And I said, no, I said, anything to find some work. He said, well, he said, I'll tell you, he said, I've got a friend out here, a fella named Woody, he got a big ranch. And I said, Woody, he said, yeah. I said, well, I said, shoot, I said, that's better than nothing, better than looking for something. He said, all right, hop on. I got my dog on stagecoach with him then. And, well, that was rough time. My God, the horses was down, way down here, you know, then, of course, you bounce up and down, you know, the ruts about that deep, and I didn't know whether I was going to stay on that thing or not. I thought maybe I'd fall off, you know, the water was rough, son of a gun. And finally then, by George, I got out there and the fella, he said to me, he says, you got a place where you're going to stay? And I said, no, I said, not just exactly. I said, but they told me this fella might have something to work for me. And so I said, I might just as well. Just about that time then, I that's as far as I went. He went one way, I was going up this other way. And so I thought, well, I might just as well start up. I didn't know how far the ranch house was or nothing. I just started up this here lane. I kept on going. All, well, here come a guy down, a young fella, or not a young fella, but a little fella. And he was the guy that owned the place. Was witty. And he had a Stetson hat on and all about that, but he was a little fella. He says, fella told me, he said, you might have some work around here. He says, are you looking for work? I said, that's what I've been looking for. I said, but don't seem like I'm gonna find much around here. He said, well, now, he said, let's you go back in there and I'll be back in a little bit. He went on, he got a great big stallion horse, a great big son of a gun. And he went out the lane, would start, I think he went up to Weezer someplace, town. And so I went up there and here was some young kid up there, he's about 14 years old. He's a nice kid. And we got talking, laying on this, or sitting on this wood pile. He got to show me then how to, the hat fit and stuff with a lasso, you know. And we got chewing the fat and everything. And then there was a horse, two horses drove up there. And this boy's sister and a young fella, sweetie, I suppose. And of course, they started going in the house and they just left the horses stand there, and all at once it's your boy, it's your sister's brother, he lets loose with a bunch of Irish confetti, and that guy there, he was just about ready to cold cock in, you know, Barry. That doggone rocks and stuff flew all over that doggone porch there, you know. He'd have brained that kid. He finally took off. Him and the girl both went. My God, well, that was a doggone place. And then on a Sunday then, why, we was out there in the yard yet. And here I heard a horse coming, and I looked, just happened to turn around to look around in the driveway there, and here comes the sheriff. And he stopped there a little bit, and he said, "Hey, is that a horse thief come through here?" I says, "How do I know where he come through here? I didn't see none." And I said, "You fellas see anybody come through here?" And he says, "No." He says, "Well, he come down through here." He says, "I'm asking." But he said, "I suppose he's going up over the hills over in there." Well, he took right after him. He went right after that. I don't know what ever happened. My gosh, boy, that was the darndest place.
Did you ever have a chance to meet any Indians out there?
Oh, I met an Indian. He was the first guy I've seen by there in Spokane Depot. He was sitting there cross-legged, right in the depot. I put an extra step over him. They just like to see the train come in, I believe. And then one place there, I think the Hoover Dam, I don't think it was built. I know it wasn't built, not at that time. But when we went out there, they was trestles. The railroads were built on trestles. They went clear across this canyon. And that canyon was the guy, if you remember right when that, I don't know what his name was, he was going to jump the canyon there with a motorcycle. Well, that was it. That was the canyon.
Snake River?
Yeah, it was Snake River. Oh, I couldn't commit to throw over that Snake River. Good Lord, that was a wide one. And right down, I looked down when we went across that, and like I say, it was all trestle then. It wasn't built up like they have, like it is now, concrete and stuff. Then that went clear up, none but wooden trestles, all the way up there to where the track went across, see? I could look down there, and here was I don't know. They had a Travis, whatever you call it, a whole tribe of Indians going down along there, a whole string of them going along. I don't know where they was going. They was just a moving. There was a whole gang of them. They looked to me like they was going south at that time. They carried all their stuff. They had and whatever they call them, Travises or whatever they are, carried all their stuff and going down there, and then they just followed that crooked river all the way down. I could see them as far as I could see, but they were still going. And there wasn't. Of course, they was far away from me, but chances are they never even seen me up there. Of course, I was going anyhow on that train, crawling. Of course, that was just a wiggly old outfit, I'm telling you, to go across that. No wonder you're putting her crawled across it.
What year was that?
What year?
Mm-hmm.
About, 1910? Yeah, 1910.
10 or 12?
Well, I don't know. Could have been 12. It was long in there. It was a little while ago. By George, I had a lot of fun out there. I used to go out fishing. Oh, there's a fellow there. He He was a lumberjack cook at one time. He thought there'd be a good place there where South Alki Point there to go and have a kind of a summer resort there where you could have ice cream sodas and stuff like that in there. He had I don't know how many tables, and I helped him put the floor down and everything there, and had a glass case there. He had candy in it, and one place cigars, and he could have somebody help him. He'd have cook you a meal if you needed, I guess he could, because he was a regular cook in a lumber camp. Fellow named Reuben. He was a nice fellow. I liked him. And I used to make a lot of money by George out there on selling clams and stuff until I got enough to go out there and look for my darn and stuff. I never got it till July.
You said you went fishing?
Huh?
You went fishing?
Did I go fishing? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I never went fishing a whole lot. Oh, yes, I did once. I went fishing one night there. I just grabbed the boat. Well, we had, one round bottom boat. And then we had five flat bottom boats, to rent, out.
Where's this at?
South Alki Point in Seattle. We'd rent them out, And I went out there one night, I thought, doggone, I'm going to go out there. I'd be like, kept on fishing. Brother, I started and I kept on pulling them things out, and throwing them in there. I must have had a half a boatload of the darn things, And I told him, fellas, I told you you'd better went along with me. He said, boy, look at the fish you got down here, And them fellas all come down. Darn things had ice about that big around. And they said, them was what you just brought in. I said, yeah. So they just turned around and laughed to beat the man, And I kept watching them on, and there'd be some more. I'd look at them, and everything else. And finally, then I guess they got tired of laughing at me, and they said, them ain't no good. I said, they never eat them kind around here. I didn't know what the matter was. It looked something like darn catfish. He said, did you get stuck with them? And I said, no, I said, they didn't stick me. I said, at least I can't see nothing. He said, well, shoot, there's like a catfish. He got his horns, they're putting there like them. I went out fishing there one day. And I had a throw line. I think I took a little clam and put it on there, and I threw it out. And doggone if I didn't catch nice rock bass. Not a rock bass, but a rock cod, they call them out there. It was about that big. And then I thought better, maybe it'd be another one out there. So I just took another one of them clams and put it on there. And I guess we didn't get two of them. The only two I did get, though. I never got any more, but I took them up there, and they didn't throw them away or tell me to go with them. That was nice. It was like bass, like a regular bass. But I was got too busy by running around there, and I saw them wood. You see there, the houses, just like this here was the flat part up on top. And then this was all open underneath down here, and they most generally had that built on piles and stuff. See, you could do the back part, because it was all open. And then they used to have a bunch of boards and stuff that drifted in, and stuff like that. And I went down there, and two or three old women there. And I used to go and drag a lot of them, that lumber come up there. I'd drag that under there for them. And whenever I got a chance, and they had me saw it up for them, you know, they had a buck saw down there, and I'd saw up that stuff. And give me 50 cents worth once in a while. Once in a while, I wouldn't even take anything, because they'd come down with a hunk of cake or something like that there, you know. And then one time there, there was a fella came, and he was going to Pennsylvania. Osiris Erie, I believe, going to buy a gold dredge. His name was, I never thought I was going to forget that guy. He was a nice old fella. Beard, heavy set, had gold nuggets there, but about that big there, a whole chain of them going across there, you know. But he going instead of buying it from the Marion Steam Shovel, I told him about us having the gold dredges out there, you know. But he was going there to Pennsylvania, there at Osiris Erie, I think he called it. And he was going to go there to go and take one, and he was going to give me a job when he got back there. But I was keeping that thing in repair and stuff. And he never made it. I think he got a stroke, this old lady told me, by his own, he got a stroke somewhere in Pennsylvania. And he's a nice old fella. And that's just the way the ball bounced.
How long did you stay out there?
I stayed out there a couple of years, I think.
What made you come back?
Well, nothing. Just exactly what. Let's see. No, I can't say that. I just thought I'd want to come back once, and I never went back out. I should have, though, I believe. Because I had a nice job out there. But, they was having trouble with about organizing a union out there and everything. And I told it, Breeze, that's a fella I worked for, J.F. Breeze. I told him, I said, I would like to work out here. I said, I like this place. And he said, why don't you? Well, I said, hey. Them guys here were trying to organize you. They're never going to organize me. He said, because I had the first union out here until Fire J. They wanted the other way around, and then they put some of my machinery up, and I just quit. I said, I wouldn't organize now on a bet. He was one nice old fella, too, that little breed. I made lots of stuff for him.
You joined the service not too long after that, didn't you?
Yeah.
What made you join the service?
What made me join the service? Because I thought it was just about time. You were just about ready to go into the getting the war anyhow. And I was shooting pool with the guy. He was on a submarine. And he was a recruiting officer then. And I got talking to him, and I said, you know, I said, the way it looked to me, we're gonna get in this war, and I said, I might just as well start right now. And he said, all right, so I went right down to the post office, but anyway, I just got temporary examination, and I was just about ready to go, and I hollered at them guys there across from the station, over where Ed Duke and them worked, Ray. They says, where are you going? I says, me? I says, I'm going up to Osiris. I says, I'm going to join the Navy. You are? Yeah. I said, by the way, that's where I'm going to get the train. And by golly, Ed says, Ray wants to talk to you. So,
that was your cousin.
Huh?
That was your cousin?
No, that was Ray.
Wasn't he your cousin?
No, Ray Duke, no. Ray and Ed, they was different dudes. Yeah. And so Ray says, "You wait." And by God, he come out there, he went with me. Then we went to the Sires. Got the train there and went to Yorktown, I think. We went to Yorktown, there was the recruiting office there, where the recruits was. That's where we got all fitted out for the outfit. Shipped the stuff home. We went on. He went on to Minnesota. I went on to New York. That was a nice home too, boy. That was a nice place.
What was the service like?
What is it like?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you. That's going to be up to you, mostly. You can make it nice for you, or you can make a doggone miserable for you, for yourself. I've had guys there, well, that was a bad time anyhow. That was right around Thanksgiving. That's a blame rough, but the guys would hold right on to a stanchion. We couldn't eat nothing. I just had, they must buy them dogs there in big pans for something. Because they looked three corners and every other which way, you know, packed in there. You got three of them dogs and then you hung on to a station if you could hold on to it. Because we were just taking dives, that's all, and just like that going. Oh, say, by God, I never seen officers. By God, we had one guy there, a fellow by the name of Reynolds. Nice officer, too. He was in my division. He was so doggone sick, and he'd roll over here, and then that water and stuff would hit him over there, you know, and then he'd roll on the other side. And then he'd roll over here, and my golly boy, he was an awful looking thing. But well, that's the way it goes.
What division was you? What division were you in?
What division? Well, I was in I think we was in the second. I think the first one was the Pennsylvania. She was the flagship. And then she had her.
She was a battleship, right?
Yeah, battleship. Mine was a battleship in New York. Let's see. The Pennsylvania, I can't name them all anymore.
What doesn't matter about that? The New York was a flagship too, wasn't it?
Yeah, she was a flagship. Well, that's the reason, the New York and the Texas. And then there was the Alabama and... Alabama, let's see, and then we had the good feeder. I think that was the Alabama. They claimed she fed better than any doggone ship in the outfit. Well, it was lots of guys. Now you take a flagship as a rule, but it was a bum feeder.
Did you see any action?
No, we never seen any action. We we could have been into it a couple different times, but our one, the Delaware, the first time we went out, by golly boy, there was a torpedo went after her, and the skipper, he just turned her right, what you might say, put her own range there by in order to miss that darn torpedoes went past. That was the Delaware. And so she could never made it because they had sunk her because she never got out of it. And they sent her back.
You met your future wife while you were in the Navy, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you bet. You. I met her too. Oh, I had a lot of fun there. I had a lot of fun down her place too.
Where is this at?
Roseite, Scotland.
Not where Mom was.
Well, no. What are you? Was that what you wanted to find out?
Well, let's take it from Scotland. We'll start there.
Take it from where?
Scotland.
Oh. Well, hey, that was one swell place. While you're talking about that, we had a place there. They called it Eagle Hut.
That was in London.
Huh?
Eagle Hut was in London.
Yeah, in London. And Flies Orchard, they had a big Paddington station there, a great big Paddington station there. And Flies Orchard, their trains, they had real shrill whistles, most of them, but anyhow. And Flies Orchard, he had one guy there, he was a water tender, maybe a fireman. A fellow by the name of Conroy, he had the prettiest tenor voice of any guy I ever listened to in my life. By golly, he had them women there, they wouldn't let him go there at that station. By George, every time he'd want to start, other guys, they wanted to go, you know, and then they'd ask him to sing this, and he'd sing, and of course, good Lord, if you could sing like he could, by George, I think anybody would want to sing. Because he really could sing, that fella. And then, he was singing just a baby's prayer of twilight, that and there, and a couple of women there, they wanted him to sing that. And then there was a fellow there in that Eagle Hut. He was a guy. He must have got hit on the side. Like us, on the one side here, you could see his teeth. New Zealand guy. Oh, they had every type man in there from every place that you could think of. They had somebody in there from this nationality or that. And then in Scotland. Of course, I'll have to say that one of our guys, or not one of them, but there was lots of them for that matter. They was kind of windbags anyhow. I didn't like that stuff.
Where'd you meet your wife?
Where'd I meet her? That was funny. I and another fella. We had there on the ship, they doubled us up. And I had this fellow by the name of Gordon. And we was going along, down along the Thames there, and there was a bunch of guys there. They had one of your splendor ones, I don't know what they call them. A whole bunch of guys in it, you know, had them races then with them things. And these guys was going up and down in there and see him. You take Mom and this here redhead, yeah, Dorothy or whatever her name
Dolly.
Was. Dolly. Dolly. Yeah, Dolly. Dolly. And they kept watching these guys, you know, and every once in a while I took this here, Gordon, took him down, you know, and he stood up here and watching them guys racing there, you know, every once in a while. See my wife, my girl that time, peeking under her hat, see? And I finally went down there and I says, I seen you peeking that time. She says, you did. Yeah, well, I said, well, I knew you was peeking at me. And I wasn't peeking at you. I was trying to figure out what the word up here means on your hat band. New York, see? And I said, oh, well, it's just about the same thing. And by George, I finally, somehow there, but I finally got a date. I don't know how that happened, but anyhow, well, we went down there one time, down to her folks. And this Dolly, her sister, no, not Dolly, that wasn't Dolly, that was
Kit.
Kit, yeah, Kit. And and this mom and I, we were sitting there, you know, and talking. I thought my old Snoopy Kit, you know, but she was, we went up the stairway, you know, she was sitting in there, you know, had the door pulled from her shut, you know, and she was listening to us, you know, down there talking. And by gosh, we finally had a lot of doggone fun there, and I went out hunting with their dog, old Spot or whatever her name was. I guess, boy, I had my good clothes on, but I was going out there rabbit hunting. The darn the dog run one right in a tile down there, and by George, boy, I was got my feet all dirty, and but those shoes, I had an awful time, but still, I liked it there. It was nice people. What do you call it? What was his name? Charlie. And he was filing across Cuxhall there. And my God, I like that. I still must have one of them things around that I got from Eagle Hut, a match case. You could have got, you could have bought most anything you wanted in there in that place, Eagle Hut.
So how did you eventually married your wife? How did it come about?
Oh, well, I had an awful time there, by your boy. We went down there and I was down there. I was that's when I went down to go and see her that time. And then, of course, when I went when you come to the train, or when she came over, she was on the Lapland. Yeah, they called it the Lapland. She come over on that. They called her name out up there when they docked. And, whoa, they stayed up, what you call, for a couple of days. They held them up there. I don't know what for, and then they come down.
After the war was over, you sent for her, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Or did I?
Yes.
I did.
I think that will take for a while.
Yeah. I think so.
Okay, that'll be enough for today, okay? I'll come back later on.
Yeah.
Alright?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, okay.